children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned. Saving kids, kids of all ages and all for all mental health issues. If you know somebody that needs a therapist, a parent support group, an inpatient or outpatient program, maybe a new school, please give us a call. We have a yeshiva liaison that's ready to help you place your child in a school that you may be looking for. So give us a call at our confidential anonymous, you can call anonymously, 718-758-0400. You can call us from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. We are closed on Shabbos, but we are open Motzei Shabbos and all day Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Again, I will repeat our number. Maybe you want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, maybe a neighbor, someone you used to usually sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. If anyone wants to get a free training for naloxone, another form of Narcan for prevention of opioid overdose. It's an inhaler. You spray it in one's nose when you're concerned they may be overdosing from opioids. Feel free to give Mask a call. We can get you a free training and free kit. Please call us. There should be a kid on everybody's block. It is somebody that's suffering with addiction. Have it in your shul. Have it on your block. Neighbor's kid may be struggling. Please give us a call. So many people have reached out. It's wonderful to know that it's available. It's free. You can get an online training. Please give us a call, 718-758-0400. If you save one life, it's like saving a world. So give us a call for that free naloxone kit. Tonight, I'm very, very happy to finally be able to have on Rochelle Heineman, who's a licensed mental health counselor in New York and Brooklyn, and she specializes in treatment of eating disorders and emotional eating, as well as exercise addiction and body image struggles. And I'd like to welcome you on tonight with us. Thank you for being on. How are you, Rochelle?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. You know, I just wanted to take a second, even before we jump into our interview, to really thank you and Mask. The resource for the community has been such a tremendous one. I'm sure you get the feedback. I get the feedback. It's really a wonderful resource. So thank you.
Thank you. Rochelle, I'm so glad to have you on. You know, the year has been, it's more than a year. That's why I'm like struggling, because I want to say the year, but it's been more than a year that people have been working from home, and they've been near the fridge, away from the fridge, stressed with depression, anxiety, relationship difficulties, career stress. So much has gone on, illnesses that people have suffered. And there is such a thing as intuitive eating. There is a real struggle for many people. And I'd like to start off with the true definition for my listeners about what intuitive eating is all about, please.
And also, again, just thank you for the opportunity to actually talk about what intuitive eating is, because I think that a lot of people have fragmented information about it. Intuitive eating is really a very dynamic framework for self-care. It incorporates emotional, physical, biological, and spiritual awareness to work toward health. And there is a large emphasis on mental health, which is important. So I think it would be helpful for me to run through the 10 principles of intuitive eating so that the listeners can get a very specific idea of what it's made up of. The first principle is reject the diet mentality, and then it goes on to talk about honoring your hunger. The third one is making peace with food. The fourth is challenging the food police. The fifth is respecting your fullness. Number six is discover the satisfaction factor. Number seven is honor your feelings without using food. Number eight is respect your body. Number nine is exercise, feel the difference. And the 10th is honor your health with gentle nutrition.
Those are very, very, very good 10 points to live by. But like you said, with the dieting, and I mean, so many people talk about dieting all the time, and then there are those, like you say, reject the dieting. What can be some of the problems with dieting?
Yeah, it's a really good question because I think for a lot of people's personal experience, but there is a whole ton of research on this, that the diets just don't work. Even if somebody is able to lose weight in the short term, it's very rare that the person will be able to keep it off. And then we start messing with metabolism, which makes it even harder to lose weight in the future. And then they're just caught in this cycle of yo-yo dieting, or they're dieting for their entire life. They're dieting, they're not dieting. It's all about the diet. On the other side, there's this idea that if we're dieting, and most diets are pretty restrictive, so engaging in restriction usually means that we're not feeding our body enough. And when we're not feeding our body enough, we tend to look for the energy elsewhere. And that's when the late night binges or the uncontrolled eating on the weekends happen, because if our body isn't getting what it needs, it will find a way to do so. And then we feel like we're sabotaging ourselves.
Wow. So let's talk about eating healthy. I mean, people do struggle with dieting. And like you said, for years and years, it's a merry-go-round. They're on it, they're off it, they run to the gym, they go back on a diet, they get off the diet, they gain the weight. They lose the weight, and it's like a lifetime struggle for many. But then there are people that try to eat healthy. But if someone's overweight and they just struggle with losing weight, sometimes there are other things that could be in the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think just to go back to the question, we use this vocabulary, we kind of take it for granted. You know, eating healthy, I use the word healthy in quotations, I use the word overweight in quotations, because they're very subjective and we kind of have taken them out of context. So even just to talk about weight for a second, in our culture, we have equated weight with health. And we say when someone's overweight, they're unhealthy, and we have to get them to lose weight in order to be healthy. Now, the question is really, if they're unhealthy, what are some other indicators that are letting us know that they're not healthy? Because if we use the BMI chart to talk about weight, meaning this person is, quote, overweight, the BMI chart was never intended for purposes of pursuing health. And so, when we talk about all these almost arbitrary markers of how weight is connected with health, it might not actually be true. So, when we're looking toward, you know, other problems with health, we might look toward, you know, doing a full blood panel and seeing what their numbers are. What's their A1C or their sugar look like? What's their EKG if they did that for their heart? What are their vitals? And if their numbers are really off, so they're really high or they're really low, then how can we look at the cause of this problem? What are the behaviors that are causing it? Is there a thyroid issue? And really addressing those will help this person pursue health. They might lose weight in the process. They might not. They might gain weight in the process. They might not. The point is that the weight isn't the most obvious or the most accurate indicator for the pursuit of health.
So I want to tell you something really interesting. I was in the grocery store buying yogurt, and I was looking at some of the labels, you know, the contents. Okay, I eat whole of Yisrael only. They're strictly kosher. So the sugar level on just a simple yogurt is so high, you know, the flavored ones. And even there's a big difference in many yogurts with the plain ones even. It was so surprising. And the reason I was looking actually is we were having a conversation, some friends, about losing weight, gaining weight, you know, on and off dieting. So I was just curious and I took a look at it and I was shocked at how much sugar is in everyday's yogurt that people are eating. And as one gets older, like you said about whether it's thyroid or sugar or EKG, like you mentioned, we're sort of feeding ourselves a lot of wrong foods, and then a person could then find out they need to cut out some foods or change of lifestyle suddenly. But we're doing it to ourselves by eating all these food. We're not. What I'm trying to say is that we're not used to reading labels usually. So something where we think yogurt is a healthy food to eat for some, now it's full of sugar, and that could be a problem.
Yeah, well, I just want to preface by saying, you know, part of where we've gone is we talk about healthy and we use it in such a general way, which then makes the approach to food pretty black or white. So we look at, okay, this food is bad for me or this food is good for me, as opposed to a continuum. You know, food isn't inherently moral, immoral. Feeling guilty about food there's no connection besides for the connection we've made. And so, you know, there's two separate things we're talking about. We're talking about the psychological well-being and what dieting does to us psychologically, and then what different foods do to us physically. So, you know, there's a truth in that if somebody's body you know, either rejects a certain food, or in order to pursue health for their specific body, they have to cut out certain foods. We're obviously not saying that they should eat it. You know, if somebody's struggling with diabetes, then probably shouldn't have sugar. If someone has celiac, then they can't have gluten. But I will say that when we start emphasizing this is bad, this is good, and really staying away from certain foods, that's when we get in really sticky territory of the kind of diets, and then we're just working on a slippery slope. So I will say it's twofold, and it just gets so tricky.
Right. So like I was saying, we were friends together talking, and they were talking about gluten-free, and that's where the subject began. And some people, you know, are gluten-free, and we were talking about reading the labels. But if we think about the importance of intuitive eating, of what we're eating, what we're putting in our body, that can only make it better for us on a whole, because the food we eat does create, you know, late in the day, like you said, that slump, that, you know, binge eating at night for some, you know, not eating in the morning. All these different things come into play when we look at our meals and our lack of meals and how it affects one's body. So what advice can you give about, you know, the nutrition and health before a person starts to diet?
Yeah, I would say that the number one thing that's most important here that I don't think people pay enough attention to is your relationship with food, which is really what intuitive eating is all about. You have to look at so many different factors about why you're gravitating towards certain food, why food is on your mind, why you're struggling with food in certain ways, and really get in touch with your body, your hunger cues, your fullness cues, the reaction your body has to certain foods. And I would say that doing the work with your relationship with food will inevitably get you to a place where you can eat in, and this is kind of going into the last principle, using gentle nutrition, because we're not saying that you should eat Doritos for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We're saying that once you get your emotional health sorted out, or, you know, on the way toward that, then we have to really pay attention to what specific foods do to your body. And so if you think of, you know, really obvious example, if you were to have 10 cups of coffee, I don't think you would feel very good later. If you were to have pancakes and syrup for breakfast, you would feel very different than if you had toast and eggs. So I think, you know, really honing into what your body is telling you is going to be the best indicator of where you go with your relationship with food and your health.
So we say relationship with food. There are many people that are emotional leaders, and if they learn to follow intuitive eating, that could be helpful. Isn't that correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I will say that there are certain people that really, really struggle with this, and I don't think that it's the best situation to try to do this on your own. Meaning if somebody is really, really struggling with their food, then they need to do this with a therapist or a registered dietitian who specializes in disordered eating or eating disorder, or it is an intuitive eating counselor, because it's so intricate and we can so easily take a lot of these principles out of context. So if somebody is a quote emotional eater, a lot of what intuitive eating does is encourages you to utilize coping mechanisms and ways of approaching the world that don't involve food. And the only way to do that is to heal your relationship with food, which kind of goes into this kind of more structured eating in the beginning. Meaning if someone is really all over the place with their food, they skip breakfast and they overeat at this point and they cut out that thing, you know, to really kind of stabilize them is to ironically be on a lot more of a structured diet, and then they can work through a lot of their emotional issues. But I will add that we are human beings and we are all emotional eaters, for better or for worse. And, you know, I'm not talking about the person who really, really struggles with this and it's impacting their life. But if you think about a baby, they want food because they're hungry. They want food because they want comfort. And that's totally normal. We gather around the table on holidays, when we celebrate together. It's all an emotional eating. We all bond over it. It's comfort. It's connection. And I don't think the goal should be not to be an emotional eater at all, because that's not possible. We're just saying that if you gravitate toward food in a really unhealthy way that's impacting your life, disrupting your functioning, that's when working with a therapist and a dietitian could be really helpful to sort out how that's going wrong.
So, yeah, that's why I invited you on. We have Rachel Hyman on with us tonight. And Rachel, tell us a little bit about what you do with the client. Is there a schedule that you start off, you know, once a week or more? Like, how does it work if somebody's listening and really wants to work with you or a therapist like you to learn more about intuitive eating and not emotional eating? So can you run us through a little bit of what happens when they go to therapy?
Absolutely. So I think that it you know, it's different depending on the severity of someone's symptoms. If someone is on more of the eating disorder side and they're really, really struggling, I usually partner up with a registered dietitian and we work together on this because I'm not an expert on which foods are best for this person's health. And so if somebody is really, really struggling, that would be part of the work. But in essence, what it looks like is, you know, I typically meet with people from any frequency between 1 and 3 times a week. And what we work toward in the beginning is really a lot more, behavioral, you can say, is stabilizing their food intake. So if somebody is not eating every few hours and really incorporating more frequent meals and snacks, and also bringing more awareness to around the meals, what's your hunger level like? Stop in the middle and see what's going on in terms of your fullness. At the end, do you feel full? And what are your thoughts attached to it? What are your feelings attached to it? If there's a lot of guilt going on, what's that about? So, you know, a lot of the process in the beginning is really learning your body as you learn to feed it more regularly, as you learn to feed it foods that might have been really scary for you in the past, you know, say something like sweets, and really look at the emotional state that happens before, during, and after, because that's going to give us the key as to what's going on emotionally with your relationship with food. So, for example, if somebody binges and they feel guilty, well, guilt is actually the key to understand what's going on and really associate with your relationship with guilt, your history with guilt. What happens for you when you do feel guilty? Does it feel intolerable? And if it does, which I'm guessing it does, then do you turn towards food? And is that like almost a numbing factor for you? So the point of therapy in this case would be to help you really identify and be able to tolerate a lot of these emotions that are really difficult because you've kind of been up with food.
So I do want to make a statement that this show is not about eating disorders where people are in full-blown eating disorder and they work with a doctor and a therapist like Rochelle and a nutritionist. This really is about wanting to learn about intuitive eating and changing one's habits. Rochelle, let's talk about exercise. Let's discuss when exercise can be a negative thing in one's life.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I think when we talk about relationship with food, we often neglect the exercise piece. And then what we're left with is this big part of the puzzle that we haven't been paying attention to. So exercise could easily become a problem when it's compensatory or compulsive. And what I mean by that is that you feel like you have to in order to feel good. If you don't, then you get really, really anxious. Or compensatory, what I mean by that is that in order for you to, quote, deserve the food or either work off the food, you have to work out. And so there's almost this calculation of output, input, and I have to do this in order to earn the food. Another thing is that when you're pushing yourself, when you're either injured or you don't feel well, that's also an indication that exercise has become a problem. Or, and this, you know, someone has to be really, really honest with themselves, if there is a little bit of a self-injurious aspect to the working out, in that they're almost punishing themselves. So for all of these reasons, I would look a lot deeper under the surface as to what's going on with the exercise.
And again, I'd like you to please describe how one can make peace with food for those that may not have, you know, come in at the beginning.
Yeah, this might seem counterintuitive, but I've seen this over and over and over again. The restriction usually is the root of the problem. We feel like we have uncontrolled eating or emotional eating, and I can't incorporate more foods. But actually, that's the truth, that you have to give yourself unconditional permission to eat so that you don't feel deprived. The deprivation is what causes a lot of the issues, is what causes the overeating physically because your body's hungry, but also because if it's on the no list, then you want it even more. You know, making sure that you're eating when you're hungry, but not waiting until you get so starving that you're hangry and irritable. You know, really honoring yourself that way. And when you allow yourself to eat all sorts of foods and eat when you're just, I guess, quote, comfortably hungry, then the guilt subsides, the overwhelming cravings subside. So I guess the key would really be to tackle the restriction.
Well, I do want to bring up once again the 10 points about intuitive eating so that just in case somebody didn't hear it at the beginning or heard it and now will reconnect the dots after listening to you, if you could repeat them, please.
Absolutely. So the 10 principles of intuitive eating, which is again just like a really dynamic framework for self-care and the pursuit of health that emphasizes a lot of mental health and intuition with your body, is 1, reject the diet mentality. 2, honor your hunger. 3, make peace with food. 4, challenge the food police. 5, respect your fullness. 6, discover the satisfaction factor. 7, honor your feelings without using food. 8, respect your body. 9, exercise, feel the difference. And 10, honor your health with gentle nutrition.
Wow, thank you so much. It's great having you on, an important conversation that we will continue on our radio show. And again, Rochelle Heineman is a licensed mental health counselor. She's in New York City and Brooklyn, and she specializes in the treatment of eating disorders, emotional eating, exercise addiction, body image struggles, and also works extensively, I would say, with challenges like depression, anxiety, and relationship difficulties. I know also, Rochelle, that you've worked with many people in the last year and a half that have career stress being home, working from home, and all the career stress that comes with it. So I'd like you to thank you for being on tonight with us and sharing all this important information.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me. Just as an addition, for anybody who wants more information, I am starting a podcast on this. It's called Understanding Disordered Eating, and it is a lot of the intuitive eating. So if you want more information, you can tune into that podcast.
Right, and anyone interested in reaching out to Rochelle, feel free to call the Mask Helpline. We'll make sure that she gets back to you. And our number again is 718-758-0400. Thank you, Rochelle, for being on. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually for now, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisroel. And please consider donating online so that Mask could continue with all our programs. It is the end of the year, the beginning of the new Jewish year, time for more chesed. Please donate online so we can help those families that are struggling with many, many mental health struggles. Donate online, www.maskparents.org, and you can listen to all our previous radio shows as well on there. Thank you, and have a good night.
Hey, New York. There's still time for lots of summer fun in the city. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Get yours today. Visit nyc.gov/vaccinefinder or call 877-VAX4NYC.
Thank you for listening to today's episode.
Talkline Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.